Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
And what's up, everybody? Here's another episode of Nights at the Round Table. I am Manny Fresh.
Oh.
I'm just going to keep doing this.
This is a new one, is it?
I'm going to do new ones every time.
Manny Fresh.
It should be Manny Sick.
So am I right?
Yeah, Manny Sick.
We got Be Real, Be Fresh.
He's like, all right.
To my left.
Beezy.
To my left, my beautiful queen, Angela Johnson.
She gets to keep the same name.
Well, her name has name recognition. To my far left, we got Bobies, also known as Elise.
That stayed the same the whole time.
Yeah.
We can't change up, just the boys get changed ups. Okay,
and,
cool.
And we have a new guest, and as here in our little circle, whenever a guest comes, they bring the wine. Michael Murphy, Elise's dad.
Yes.
Great to be here.
Yay!
Wonderful.
Good sir. Clap. Tell me what you brought us.
I bought you a New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc. It's a mature, and they're a crisp, fresh, light white. Like today was like 85.
Yeah.
And it
Celsius
was, it
or
was
Fahrenheit.
Summer,
look at
it
that.
Was summery, and so it's a really great
yes.
drop.
Good summer wine.
Look at this. It says, when this turns blue, I'm chilled and ready. So this changes colors.
Oh, that's the first I've ever seen that.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
That's nice. Fancy. So
it is very fresh. Cheers. To Elise.
Cheers.
To Elise.
Shut up. Cup of tea.
Thanks for being here, Dad.
I have a cup of tea because I'm fighting a little cold, but it's all good.
But he is winning.
Check it out. So today we're going to talk about part two of our series, Love. There's how to find it, how to keep it, what do you do when it's gone, and this is the how to keep it section. So we brought in our professional...
Resident expert.
Professional how to keep it going.
Professional how to keep it going. Because he's been married for 35 years.
Yep.
Which, to put that in perspective, B, how long have you been married?
I've been married 2 years, 3 months.
Come on.
I'm not even 35, though, so you've been married longer than I've been alive.
Jeez.
Wow.
Oh, snap. Thanks, B.
That is some perspective.
No, true respect. That's gangster.
Yo, and then babe, we've been married.
Get it right.
We got married in 2011,
yep.
And we're going on 2019. So that's almost 8 years.
Yep.
We're gonna be 8 years.
Good job, babe.
We're gonna be 8 years.
June 11th.
So much writing.
8 years.
On that.
We're doing it. We're
get
winning
it.
Right now.
Get it. Winning.
And then, good sir.
Yeah.
Wait, what about Elise?
Yeah.
I thought we were God.
Oh yeah,
I've been married.
Bobies, how long have you been married?
Currently taking a break, you know, just had a sabbatical, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
no, I appreciate that.
It was 10
and
months,
then,
just if anyone's wondering.
10 months.
But here's a good question. Best advice you were given when you got married?
Don't marry him.
Did you follow it?
Don't marry him.
Okay,
did
good.
Not follow it. Carry
dang
on.
Dang it.
I'm just joking, by the way.
No, that's, I mean, it's okay. It's okay.
Great.
I mean, that's a very good advice.
Kind of, maybe?
That certain people got.
Best piece of marriage advice that I got was how important it is to just keep your connection on and how to, like, you got to do, Brandon, whatever you got to do to protect that connection. Yeah, this connection between you and your wife is the most important thing. Obviously, Jesus is in the center of all that. But again, that meant for me, like, this connection is now my world. So if I got to cut off friends, opportunities, if I have to keep myself from places, whatever it means, I've got to make sure that I'm adding to this connection and not taking away from it.
Dang.
I love
and
that.
So, like, everything is through that lens of, like, am I helping our connection or am I hurting our connection?
Mm-hmm.
So, like, and then, too, it's been amazing because Maddie's been that as well. So when you got two people that are, like, doing everything they can to build this connection stronger, it's been amazing. So that's the best piece of advice.
I wish we got that advice. Just kidding.
Did you? Has it been smooth sailing for you guys right along?
Oh, not smooth sailing, but we haven't had any like we're done. We definitely have not had that. But our first year, they always say your first year is the hardest. Mm-hmm. But our first year was hard because we were apart. He was on tour and I was on tour, and his tour was different. My tour was weekends out, weekdays home. His tour was months gone at a time.
Wow.
Yeah.
So I guess our best advice was when you go on tour and come back, make sure you take at least a month off.
That's great.
To be with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, that was kind of what we gave ourselves. Oh, I don't know that that was advice.
Yeah,
from the counselor.
Oh, yeah. We did see a marriage counselor to help us with our connection, actually.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was good. It was the best advice for us.
No doubt.
That's great.
And to move it on to the person who's actually
the expert,
Michael, I mean, you've been married for 35 years, so we're going back.
Yep.
In your first year of marriage, what was the best advice you got and did you take it?
I honestly think we were totally clueless. Like we really were. We both had come out of broken backgrounds and, I joke with people. We met and married in 6 months. Ooh. So I wouldn't recommend that. Like you can hear that. We learned, we had all our premarital stuff after we got married. The Bible says it's better to marry than burn. And my wife was burning up. So I just,
I would like to defend her. I would like to defend my mother.
She hears that a lot. And she knows it's true, actually.
That's ridiculous.
So yeah, no, we got married reasonably quickly. And I was a very young Christian, and to be honest, we didn't get a lot of advice. Mm-hmm. It was like, yeah, you'll be good, go great, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously subsequent to that, we thought we were done a couple of times early on.
How early on is early on?
Oh, in the first year. I thought we were done. Like, I think after 6 months, we were fighting all the time. We were arguing. My wife, you never die wondering on her, what she thinks. I was sarcastic. So she was getting kind of theatrical about her responses. I would then just smugly say, "You're quite finished, dear." Ooh. It didn't work. It wasn't all that good.
Right.
Actually. It wasn't a good combination. Not good. No, yeah. No. So I would say we didn't get a whole lot of advice. And since then, maybe that's why I've probably married a couple of hundred people since then. Actually done the wedding, not actually
registered. Married. Wives, to get it right.
Just to clarify.
Just to get it right.
But the importance of just finding someone that you can trust that knows the up and the downside of your relationship, so that when you hit the wall, when you hit the wall, there's an automatic kind of go-to person. I think that's really important.
That's great.
So at what point did you feel like y'all were solid? Like, how long did it take to feel like, okay, this is solid?
Last Thursday, I think, was good.
and he was in London and mum was in Australia. So.
No, I think probably after about 4 or 5 years in, where we just settled down. You know, it's funny, you know, we argued a lot, mainly in that initial stage. Can we be candid?
Absolutely.
Yes. We're drinking wine.
We argued about communication, sex, and money. They were our big
fights. Those are the number one things.
Big fights. They really were for us. You know, we weren't talking. We didn't know how to connect talking wise. Sex was there was always a tension point. And interestingly enough, the more I angst about that, the more challenge that was in our relationship. I can remember almost going, this is not working. Like trying to manipulate and, you know, so as I chilled out about it, it was amazing what happened. Mm. It's almost like it thawed out, the whole relationship thawed out. Mm. And then the money thing, you know, when we didn't have money, I was in ministry pretty early on. And so we didn't have a whole lot of resource. So people say, oh, you haven't got any money problems, you haven't any money. But that created a whole lot of angst in that regard.
You know, it's funny that those, you know, the three topics that you said were the most troublesome for you, when it's literally the most troublesome for everybody. Everyone. But the church is like the last people to talk about. I mean, at least for me, when I was in church, the only talk I got about sex was don't do it. and that's it.
Yeah.
And money was tithe and everything will be okay.
Yeah.
That's it. That's like literally the amount of knowledge that was passed down to me, which doesn't really set anybody up, because I knew a lot of people that were tithing, they were still broke.
Yeah.
You know? And I knew a lot of people that were getting into their marital bed, and the first night of marriage, the girl wouldn't come out of the bathroom because she was so scared. And everything was okay now. And
that was me. That was me. I stayed in the bathroom.
Shut up. Okay, no, I was so scared.
Our first night was funny, babe, right? That first night. It was so funny.
Oh, she was fun. Well, everyone, take a sip. Take a sip.
No, because me and her.
Take a sip, everyone.
Me and her were so scared of having kids. I was like, I literally told her as a joke. I was like, babe, we don't have to, you know?
Oh, my God.
Because we were so scared of having
she
kids.
She still thinks about that to this day.
I'm like, I'm all right.
Like, clearly, I don't remember it. Like, huh?
Okay. You don't remember I made that joke?
No.
Man, I was so scared of having kids. Anyways, but it's I think it is something that we should talk about, like, on extensively, especially before you get married, like how if you don't know how to handle proper finances, or if you don't know how to address, you know, the sex conversation. We did this book, Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts.
You guys did that one too?
Yeah, we did that one
too. Well, I did it too. But, I mean, two out of three.
Did you really do it?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I did it.
But
I
did you know. Do the work? You did the workbook?
I did.
Okay, so check it.
This, he did it probably, huh?
Yeah, I did it.
This thing comes with a workbook, and it literally breaks down for you.
Yeah, it's real. It is a great
every
book.
Single chore that you could possibly think of doing as a married person.
Wow.
Who's going to take off the trash? It had three columns.
Yep.
You, her, and what your parents did.
Yes.
Wow.
So it's like...
Totally.
Take out the trash, and you're supposed to put who you think's supposed to do it. You, her, and then tell what your parents did. Do the finances.
Laundry.
Initiate sex. Laundry.
You said
all
finances.
All this stuff, and you literally see the history of your life play out. Like, I was like, oh, man, why... I didn't know I thought that way, but it's because my mom did that, and I expected her to do a lot of those things.
Well, it's a great way to see where your expectations lie.
Correct.
That you don't know you have this expectation,
And
you just think like, oh, well, the woman makes all the doctor's appointments.
Yeah.
That's what my mom did.
Yeah.
And then that was the thing with us, is he would always want me to make his doctor's appointments and like any
How
kind of appointment.
How often was he going to the doctor?
A massage appointment.
I'm sick right now, so a lot.
a dentist appointment, anything.
Right. Any appointment.
And then I would be like, you don't got a phone? What?
But
your battery dead? Why?
It was literally the only thing I expected from her.
Wow.
The only thing.
Your mom did that?
My mom always took care of that for us.
Wow.
You know, but since for 8 years now, that book, we still do the same chores. Like, I'm in charge of, I'm in charge of everything. So I do the trash and the laundry. You know,
so
that
was easy. Manny, everything. Done. Yeah.
Just one line down
just the stairs. Manny,
can you make a doctor's appointment for
her? Tell jokes, Angela.
No, that, good one. Seriously, though, that book was such a huge tool for us because
that's great.
It started conversations on things that you wouldn't think to talk about, really.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, coming into a marriage, you're just thinking about, oh, God, I can't wait to be married to her. You're not thinking about, hey, who am I expecting to take out the trash?
Yeah.
Who am I expecting to fill the car up with gas? Which I didn't even know was a thing. And so for Maddie, sometimes her dad would do that, but she's been such an independent woman, like, for most of her life, that she was like, oh, I'll just do it. So it was great because when we did our workbook separate from each other, and then we'd come together, we'd talk about, we'd look at the areas and say, okay, why is it that you have this expectation? Yeah.
Was there a big difference that you and Maddie had that you realized from the book?
No, actually it wasn't.
Of course
it's just kind
of,
she's you perfect.
Guys.
She's literally perfect.
Wow.
Like, my wife is an angel, but.
She is.
Yeah, we looked at it and we were essentially on the same page. I mean, there was minor things where it's like, hey, I expect you to take out the trash, and I put me too. So, but yeah, it was great.
We were right on. There wasn't anything really that we had to switch up.
Other than appointment.
No, but you still do my appointments. I still
you do? Reluctantly, I do.
Yeah.
Reluctantly. Do we need to have a conversation now?
Wow.
I'm just kidding, babe. Kinda.
We were poles apart.
Really?
Oh, we had no. We didn't get. I didn't get that book. I don't think it was written.
Back what
when
were your,
we got true. Married. 130.
What were your biggest differences?
Whole
in little
family
things.
Of origin was just so different. Valerie was brought up for the first 10 years in a village atmosphere kind of in England.
Oh.
And I was brought up with, and her, it was only her and her brother. Yeah. So it was very quiet. I was the eldest of seven kids.
Oh.
And it was always a screaming match.
Wow.
And jeez. So like that right there. And my mum was very dramatic. Like she was loud, and no wonder after seven kids, she's just stopped twitching now.
Yeah.
She's 85.
I bet.
Gosh. Amazing woman. But she was always loud. And when mum would get too loud, dad would get in the car. He'd go, drive away and just come back a little bit later.
No way. Avoid
so it. Guess what? I found myself. I did exactly the same thing. If Valerie would get overexcited about it, I would get my keys and I'd drive and I'd turn the car on and I'd go for it.
That's horrible.
One day, after a big fight, I got the keys. I went in the car. I looked up and Valerie was
yes,
on the
mom.
Front of
yes.
the bus.
Yes, queen.
I had a real decision to make that day. So, yeah, well, lots of differences.
Man.
But we kind of just made our way.
That, you know what? That was a big difference with Manny and I because I have a huge Mexican family mm-hmm. and we're all very close. Mm-hmm. And where my husband has never even met his grandparents and he does not have a big family. So that was something new for him, and it was something that he needed to learn to adjust, and I needed to have grace for him, which I didn't for the beginning. I was like, what the heck? Why aren't you talking to all my family members? And there's like 50 yeah,
she,
in the room.
She want me to memorize off, you know, 100 people, and I'm like, I don't talk to any of these people like all year. So every time I come back, I feel like it's new again. So I'm just kind of like...
I have to remind them who everyone's name is.
It's only now that I'm kind of getting the people that I, you know, that I know. But it's hard because I never knew how important family was when you do get married. Because you're going to spend
huge.
So much time with them.
Yeah.
And so for me, it was tough. Especially since, you know, the first time my family and I sat together and ate a Thanksgiving... was when my wife and I made them,
like
just like 3 years
my
ago.
My husband
right?
never had Thanksgiving dinner ever.
I never had
up.
Dinner
like a
together.
Wow. They never right. sat and ate. Never sat and had dinner together. As a family
ever.
Right. Ever, and of course, not even Thanksgiving dinner. And then 1 year I'm there, and I'm like, well, let's do Thanksgiving dinner. Everybody make something and
yeah.
sit around the table. And
I had one uncle. I had an aunt somewhere. I had
somewhere.
My sister. Cupboard? And that was it. Like, I didn't know my grandparents.
Jeez.
I didn't know anything. So it was very difficult to fit into her world when they were
and
all
I'm
so
Mexican.
Close. I remember when she was like, you're going to my family reunion. I was like, what?
Oh,
those
gosh.
Are real? I thought that
people
was like
them?
TV. You know,
you, like, you get to meet a ton of new cousins. Like, we're having one coming up here in a couple months.
You guys are?
Yeah, my family, my mom.
I
want
to go. We're all coming.
Mexican
just so you
family.
Know.
Yeah.
I'm coming.
And I already like prepped Maddie. I'm like, look, you're about to meet so many new people, and I'm going to meet so many new people.
Yeah.
They're like, hey, I'm your cousin, man. Yeah. I'm like,
cool,
man. It's so good to see you again. I'm like, hey, I'm asking my mom, who is he?
Yeah. Yep. That's amazing.
It's definitely a big thing. So now that you're on the other, like, not on the other side, but what are some things that as you're counseling or yeah. teaching people underneath you who are going to get married, like, what are the top three things that you go to where it's like, yo, you need to get this right.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Can we add to that? Can you tell us what are the top three things you tell new people who are going to get married?
Yeah.
And then what are the top three things you tell people who have been married
for
a minute
while.
And them? Yeah. Two different seasons.
Okay. Let me just first of all say, though, you know, we've 35 years on the board right now, and we had a beautiful celebration last year for that. You never actually arrive. Like, for example,
that's good.
Right now we're in counseling, not because there's anything at all desperate. I just want to make sure that our last 10 or 15, 20 years, we're thriving.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah.
And we do everything together. We travel together. We work together. We're obviously empty nesters now. So we got this amazing guy that is in America, and we from all around the world, just once a month, we check in. He checks in on
that's
us.
So key.
And so I wanted to say that because no matter who you are, I believe every single couple needs counseling.
That's good.
Yeah.
Every single couple, I believe, could benefit from counseling. Mm. I'm not talking about every week or every 3 days, you know, who's our counselor. But the fact is that we bring such a complexity to the table. It's like a spaghetti bowl of, we talked about family of origin, just kind of jokingly, but it's such a huge deal. And the world is becoming more diverse. And with people traveling, it's actually becoming quite normal now for people of incredibly diverse cultural backgrounds to come together. And so that accentuates the issue. And I just think that's really, really important.
Yeah.
So new couples. I don't do as many marriages as I used to, that's for sure. But I think you gotta have fun together. Like that sounds a really simple thing. You gotta laugh a lot, and so I think that's a huge. I think it's actually been a real success thing for Valerie and I. We do spend a lot of time laughing and having fun. I think that keeping short accounts. So basically, keeping a sweet spirit. Life will, and relationship will, you get stuff all the time where you get your nose out of joint or that wasn't spoken about. Last night on the way from the airport or the night before, I was talking to my wife on the phone and I was tired and she started talking work and I was sharp with her. And Elise went, "Hey, Dad, you know, was that like, yeah, thanks a lot for the marriage counseling."
I'm actually their therapist. Surprise.
But again, I just want to say, this is live, folks. And it's, and she was right. And I was like, oh, okay. 35 years. Yeah. You think we'd have it down pat by now, right?
That's so great.
And then I think just those three areas of communication, sex, and really that book is a form of it's a catalyst for communication.
It is.
Because one of the big problems when you're marrying a couple, that often they're so emotionally attached. And you're right, so looking forward to being married for various reasons and so forth. But just that to give them any concrete advice, it's like straight over the top. But if you've got some objective tool like that, so communication, sex, and money, just work those things out in a way of not perfection, but a clear understanding. So that's new couples. I think moving forward, after you've been, let's say, married 10 years or so, you had just enough time to build up some nasty habits. And, you know, a rut is nothing more than a grave with the ends kicked out. And and so if you're in a rut in your relationship where there are things that you, there are no-go zones, no-go zones in communication, you really must address that.
Yeah.
Further to that, there are, you know, the Bible talks about a root of bitterness springing up. And so if offense is undealt with, that there'll be things that'll start to fester and can spring up and absolutely destroy that relationship. And I think the third thing would be, I remember at one stage we did a family mission statement, which sounds all gooey and like, yeah, really. But just reminding ourselves why we came together. And we're actually beyond ourselves. It's not just about Valerie and I. It's about our kids. It's about now our grandkids. It's about now kids and grandkids we got all over the world spiritually that are reliant upon us. And so remember the why. Keep short accounts, keep a sweet spirit. And I think the third thing is just deal with any unaddressed, anything you're avoiding communication-wise. Yep.
What, can you elaborate a little bit more on, you said the no-go zones, short account, can you?
Yeah. So I think, short accounts is simply not allowing something, well, they are related actually, not allowing something to build up where you're festering.
Like keeping a tally?
A short memory.
A tally?
Keep a short memory. Like, it happened, forget it, like, let it go.
Yeah, but let's deal with it.
Okay.
Sorry, keep it short.
Sorry,
accounts.
I don't know Australian.
I'm sorry.
It's not Australian.
You speak great Australian. You were there.
I just kidding.
Yeah, so don't let, you know, the Bible talks about, like, don't let the sun go down on your anger.
Right.
And I think if you can keep that, you know, even if there is a little explosion every now and then and so forth, that's, like, arguing is not the end of the world, you know. You got to learn how to fight, have a good fight, not have a bad fight. A good fight is,
there's a bit of tension, maybe the odd raised voice.
Touch gloves in the beginning.
Yeah, but at least we work through something.
Yeah.
Where it doesn't mean the end. See, a lot of people, when they have conflict in life, it means the end of a relationship.
Yeah.
That's their experience. Mm. Dad walked out.
Right.
My girlfriend walked out. And whereas conflict is actually is a really important essence for progression in relationship.
That's good.
The no-go zones is more about those areas that you've tried to talk about a couple of times.
And that's usually me.
Well, let's do this.
So
Manny goes, I'm not going to do that again. And we often learn as a communication, as a protection tool, reaction is a good way of keeping a boundary around me. And we don't realize we're doing that, but it's like if I'm aggressive, if I don't want you to go there, and then people recoil, and I learn subconsciously, that means I don't have to deal with it. It becomes more of a habit in my life.
So
in marriages, that happens all the time. It happened for me, and it happened for Valerie. And so we realized after a while that there were some areas that were just no-goes. And for us, you know, some of those things, it was the sex, it was the money. And it caused a great communication problem.
So there were no-goes, but you didn't ignore them. Like there were no-goes for a moment, but then did you both agree or come to a point where you're like, you know what? We have to deal with this no-go.
Yeah, how did you?
Because if not,
was it a therapist or was it, did you guys get there?
No, it wasn't back then. I think we muddled by, to be honest. And again, I'd love to be able to say yes. And then here's something early on. When we thought we were done a couple of times, and this is gonna sound cheesy, we tried to work it out, and every time we'd end up in this kind of this knots in the stomach, and we wouldn't talk, and you'd lie in bed. And there'd be a football field between you and your spouse. We'd be on that side, cold sheets in the middle, and she'd be on the other side, turning over. Mm-hmm. And every now and then, accidentally, you'd touch feet. Oh, I don't want to do that. You know. as we sort of got into that, we realized this is we were in a bit of strife here, and. In the one week, we had two senior lead ministry couples come around. I always believe in a backup. So we have one on Tuesday and one on Thursday. And they would be both names that everyone would know. So the first couple came around and they had the biggest argument they'd ever had on the way over to our home. So they were fat lot of good they were. You could cut the atmosphere with a knife when they walked through the door. Shoot. The next couple came 2 days later and we told them our dilemma and so forth 2 nights later. And they were really chilled. They said, he said, guys, you're just getting to know each other. Mm. And I think that was probably the other end of the spectrum. That was like not all that helpful. But in the midst of that, I felt this sense of, okay, we're not doing good here. We're not able to work this thing through here. It's like with the classic trying to work it out in the flesh type thing. And God gave me this little picture of basically whenever we were about to really explode or the temperature was rising, whomever was in a better state would grab the other one's hand, go into the bedroom, and... it's all right.
This is how you were made of.
Yes. And then we had three children.
That's another story. But
no,
anyway.
No, we don't need that one. Thank you. Sip the wine.
We'd kneel down beside the bed and we would say, God, we got nothing. Help us, please. And I promise you, it was almost like magic. Every single time, like it didn't solve all the issues, the burden, the heaviness would lift.
Yeah.
Eventually, it just became like, it was just a trigger that got us out of that, in addition to, obviously, summoning the grace of God.
Can I ask you a question?
Please.
Was there a time when, say, you did that or mom tried that, and the other was so heated that they were like, not right now. And what would you do then?
Don't touch
my hand.
Probably sulk. Or, you know, like we didn't do great. Like I'm telling you, it was really hard. Mm-hmm. And we hung in there.
And you just get, and then you're busy with kids. We had kids pretty quickly.
You guys like met, married, and just like had kids. We did. Like all the
things. And so obviously Valerie was always pregnant. And so her hormones, and I didn't know this, I was clueless. So
yeah, it was all mom.
I'm like, what the, come on, you know, I'm your husband. Well, yeah, we know the kids are good, but come on, baby, I'm your husband. And she's like, her hormones are up and down. She's having kids and she's pregnant. And so it wasn't.
Which you had grace for because she was carrying your children.
Oh my gosh. I wish I did. I wish I did. I was not great.
Sure, no, that's, yeah.
I was not great in that regard.
So then when you guys would come back together, like if one of you would reject, I'm saying that because I wanted it to be clear, I guess, as well, that it's not always that easy of like, we're in a fight. Okay, you know what? Let's pray. And both of you are like,
good.
Absolutely.
That's good.
Like, what did you do when it wasn't that?
Well, we just either iced each other, you know, like we just,
sure.
you went through it. You go through it, you know, and I think that, but I have to say for us, and I think for everyone, like it's not perfect, but you bring God into the center by saying, God, help us, like really help us. And even if you're feeling like, oh, I don't really want help right now.
It's a choice.
If you can do that, it's going to make a big difference. Mm,
that's great.
And frankly,
sometimes I say, God help me, but like in a sarcastic way when he's like keeps talking and talking and I go, oh, Jesus, I need you right now. And then that just makes him more mad. I think that's maybe the wrong attitude to have, Ange.
Okay.
I don't think that's what he's talking about.
Oh, intention is important.
Yeah. Authenticity. Okay. Yeah. Things. No, you know, no sarcasm.
You know what's even more that I'm thinking about as I'm listening? There's probably a good majority of people that are going to be listening that know God, know these tools make sense, but there's going to be also a good amount of people who aren't Christian, don't know God, don't know whatever. Yeah. So sitting down and praying isn't going to be the thing for them. What do you think to them, to those who aren't going to all of a sudden find God? I mean, if you do, cool, awesome. If you don't, we still love you. It doesn't matter. But what are some good tools for those people who are just literally like at the end of their wits, but they don't believe in God, they're not going to call on God, you know, is there something that you...
Find God. Just kidding.
No. Get over yourself, deal with your stuff, and stick at it.
Mm. So, get over yourself is powerful.
Yeah.
And that was the big thing for me. Honestly, I was too cool for school. I thought I was all that in a bag of chips, as we say in Australia. You said it here?
Yeah, sure.
In 1989.
Yeah. 1989, yeah. We said
come
it a
on,
lot.
Come on, I'm stuck in the 80s. So if you just get over yourself. Like, this was never about me. Like, it was the marriage was not for me.
Mm.
In fact, it was not for Valerie. It was for both of us for the benefit of others. I think that's a radical thought. What if your marriage is not about you?
Mm.
What if your marriage is to help a whole bunch of other people, encouraging them, building a life. You know, it may be building a family. You know, so get over yourself. Deal with your stuff. You know, all of us have stuff.
Yeah.
And I think actually, and if that involves a therapist, if that involves asking some hard questions, and typically your stuff will be indicated by emotional tip outs, either heights or lows, that would be indicative of the fact, or just repetitive thought patterns. Your life is tending towards your most predominant thought. And so if you have thoughts that are not good.
Say that again. Say that part again.
Your life will tend toward your most predominant thoughts.
Oh, dang.
Here's the funny thing about that. And this is where I always tell people, I think marriages begin to fail when one person regards themselves higher than the other.
That was me. Meaning,
when you do your vows, it's all about, oh, I'm laying down my life for you, through better or worse, blah, 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 blah. But then when we get into it, we start saying, why isn't he doing this for me? Why isn't she doing this for me?
Yeah.
Why am I not getting what I need? And then that makes you shut down and not give what the other person needs. And we do that because we think if we keep giving and not getting, then we're losing.
Mm.
Like we're losing this game. So I'm not going to give to him. I'm not going to give him more. Right. What? He hasn't been romantic at all. Why should I? Whatever. I'm going to be like this because I don't want to appear weak. Mm-hmm. I don't want to appear taken advantage of. Mm-hmm. I don't want to appear anything. So then it all shuts down at that point.
Yeah.
When one of the sides starts regarding themselves for more, like it's like a continual, at least in our marriage, I know when I start getting real like, it's because I'm starting to think of myself more than her. Mm. Like what annoys me or whatever. And there's a lot of times where I'll get after her because she's not doing something the way I think it should be done. Mm. Or how I think is right. Mm. I'm regarding myself. I actually expect her to know what I'm thinking and to do it. Or else it's just dumb. Why do you do stuff like that? That's, you know what I'm saying? I never say you're dumb or you're stupid, but...
But it's implied. But, no, it's in the tone. It's an accent.
You're silly. But at the end of the day...
See, you're dumb. See, that's what I heard. That's what I heard.
At the end of the day, would you agree? Would you agree?
Absolutely, yeah. I think one of the ways that one of the people we did premarital counseling with, he just said, hey, being married, marriage is this glorious invitation for you to die to yourself.
Mm. Wow.
And to me, that's always stuck with it because it's like, again, what you were just saying, it's not about me. And again, that gets tough sometimes because you're hoping the other person is thinking that abiding by that too, because you're like, all right, I'm gonna hold up my end, you better hold up your end. And so every day it's like, okay, yesterday was yesterday, today am I choosing to die to myself?
So good.
So I could be a better husband for Maddie and I could serve her in the best way. And then something you were saying earlier kind of connected with me of like the cool thing about being married for me, many cool things, but one of the things is that like we get to share in our wins. Mm-hmm. So sometimes if I was in this insecure place where I feel like, okay, if you're winning, you're getting ahead of me.
Wow.
Oh.
Is,
come on.
Okay, we're on the same team though.
Yeah.
So if she's winning, I'm winning.
Yeah. Right.
You know, when I'm winning, she's winning. And then, you know, the tough times too, when you share in the same losses, you know, like right now, this past year, Maddie's lost 2 grandparents and I lost a grandparent.
Wow.
So that's been one of the biggest things in our marriage of having to deal with grief.
Yeah.
We've never seen that side of each other before. Wow. So we're like, we're learning in new ways to communicate of like, oh, you want to be left alone right now. Let me give you space. Hey, I just need somebody to talk to right now. I'm just going to talk to you. I don't need your opinion. Just hear me out, you know? So that's been the thing we're learning again, how to communicate. Because the day-to-day life, our communication's great. And I feel like, again, it's just going to change and evolve as we evolve and change. But having a long distance relationship, I think, forced us early on to have to communicate really well.
Wow.
When she's living in Alabama and I'm up in the Bay Area and we're seeing each other once or twice a month, the only way that we could really stay connected is how well we can communicate. Mm. So then when we actually started living in the same city, I was like, oh, game over. It's a wrap.
That's such a good point, because I think people take for granted the, like, when you have them in your life every day and you're like, oh, this is how it'll be. So seeing them, you know, people say like a picture is worth 1,000 words. Not when you're dating, I think, not when you're figuring out if you want to be married with this person, because it takes those hard conversations. And I would say one of the things for me is this is going to sound weird maybe, but almost as an ability to hide when you're seeing someone and so in love or so like the chemistry's so there. Mm-hmm. It's actually really easy to hide behind terrible communication. And I'm speaking from experience. And so we did the book we were talking about, The Saving Your Marriage Before It Starts. But when I look back, the communication, I should have paid it to, not that I didn't see the flags, I should have paid attention to the flags to say, the communication's a little idealistic here. Like, we're not really talking about who's doing the chores. I don't really believe this person when they're talking about their other issues in life. And so I think that that is something that can hide when you have chemistry, when you have just being intoxicated almost. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're almost like drunk by a person. You know what I mean? And so...
Especially when you have attraction.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a high. Mm-hmm. It is. It's there, like the strongest.
There's this old song that's on my best friend's wedding soundtrack. You should probably get it. It's just the best soundtrack ever. But one of the songs goes, if you want to be happy for the rest of your life, never make a pretty woman your wife. So from my personal point of view, get an ugly girl to marry
what?
You.
Okay, I mean.
But yeah, I think it's hilarious because it's, the amount of things that you skip getting caught up on the physical attraction, mm-hmm. which is why I always tell girls, because I laugh, because girls, I be counseling some, and they always be thinking, I can sleep with homeboy, or I can get down with homeboy.
Right.
But don't worry, I still have control. Like, I'm not too invested.
You do not.
I'm like, Trick, it's only been 1 week. Mm-hmm. You are done. Like, you're done for. You will not be able to control your emotions. If you are getting physical and you think you can be objective, it isn't going to happen. Never. I remember one time I got down with this chick, and this little chick was a freaking liar. This was in high school, by the way.
Okay. This wasn't Angela.
She was a lying hooker. It was so bad.
Okay, bro. Watch your mouth.
I was so mad at her. But she was the type of girl that would lie for no reason. Like, she brought over this bottle of wine. I'm like, oh, that looks blue. It's not blue.
It's pink.
Yeah, it's not blue. It's pink.
I know, yeah.
Just stupid lies. For no reason lies. And
it's called gaslighting. It's fine.
And I remember I hated it so much, but I decided to sleep with her. And then she decided to try to go get with some other dude. And when I tell you, I was fighting for that relationship, and I didn't know why.
Mm. I was physical, like, man.
Why am I so concerned with this person? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, damn, the Bible told me.
For the Bible tells me so.
The two become one, and now this little girl got part of me, and she got me hemmed up. And I'm like, I don't even like her. I don't want to be with her. I know
but
she's
there is
a liar.
An attachment
but
there.
But I'm so
I know.
And that can happen too outside of sex, you know, of like just that emotional
tie speak to it.
Of like being so involved with that, you know, because I've been there before. Again, Maddie was the first person I've ever been with, vice versa. And again, not to be like, oh, look at me, you know, I'm pure, but just like we did that. So, but yeah, with the emotional connection, I remember the first girl, I'd probably say the closest thing to experiencing love. Again, Maddie took it to a whole nother level, but first thing was that emotional connection. Again, we never slept together, but again, my heart was broken when we had to like end that. And I was like fighting for it. I'd be like, yo, I will wait for you. Whatever you got to do to like get your act together, I'll wait for you. Mm. And again, it was just that emotional connection. And so when that actually ended, it felt like I was detoxing. Like it just felt like, I just felt those things in my heart. It was tough for me to sleep. This was my freshman year of college. So like, you know, freshman year, everyone's like, oh yeah, man, we're in college. We're going to go whatever, whatever. I'm just in bed like, it's over.
Buddy, buddy, my life is over.
I know. I was always like such a lover at heart. And so.
What you said before about that long distance relationship.
Yeah.
In some ways, it'd be great if everyone had to do that because it actually takes out a play.
Mm-hmm. Dad would like me to be in a relationship with someone from Australia, so I come back to Australia.
Hey, no, I'm talking. So
that's the subliminal messaging happening right now, guys.
Oh my gosh!
For the record.
Oh my gosh, he's a doctor, and so.
Oh my god! Oh my god! Specific.
Well, you started.
Wasn't being specific. Carry on. Touché.
So, because you it forces you to have as the major part of the relationship communication, which is what we've been talking about, and actually getting a meeting of hearts, and over whether it's over FaceTime or whatever, you have to spend that time, and whether they are in Australia or New Zealand or Germany,
and so we're done with that part of the situation. It's a great point, though. You know what? The other thing I would say is. Early on, again, one of my perspectives that I feel like has been gold through my own pain and season of divorce and not being able to say I was able to make a relationship work this time around. But I think one of the things that has been brilliant is the lessons you learn through failure in that sense.
Yeah.
And one of the things I would say is early on, I mentioned it in terms of it's really easy to hide behind chemistry when you're with someone, but it's really easy to ignore red flags. And that, I cannot stress that point enough. In terms of how do you make it work, the biggest lesson I've learned is red flags are not a color scheme. They're not a decoration for the wall of your house. Like, they are something to be paid attention to, take them seriously. And I remember going through that book and feeling already there are some no-go zones here and not –
not going into those zones?
Because you're already invested.
Exactly. So how do you not be, I don't know, I guess.
There is no not.
Yeah, exactly.
You it's just, it comes a point where somebody's value of themselves is worth the heartbreak.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're about to break your own heart.
Yeah.
If you're that invested and you're like, damn it, I got to pull out now.
Yep.
And I've been here for so long. Wow. Like, I've invested so much, but I know I got to peel out. Yep. I'm going to break my own heart.
Jeez, that's so good.
And most people are not courageous enough to do it. Most people are going to think this. They're going to think this. I'm going to change them.
Yeah. Mm.
My love is going to change them.
Oh, how many times?
They're going to realize how special I am. They're going to realize how much I love them.
I'm the exception, not the rule.
Then he'll stop cheating, or he'll stop being this, or she'll stop being that.
Yep.
Doesn't work. Doesn't work. People change when the pain of staying the same is greater than changing. That's it.
That's awesome.
And it's always going to be their decision. It's not going to be yours.
Say that again.
Say it again.
I said people will change when the pain of staying the same is greater than the pain of changing.
Ugh.
So it's when you get sick and tired of the same old sh- you're finally going to be like, yeah, okay, I'm done. And I know I'm going to hurt over there, yep, but over
that was
there,
where I, that was where I got to.
Is less pain than staying, yes, in this.
We were, that's fantastic. Actually, we were just chatting, Elise and I, and I came out with just this thought that I'm, the gift that Elise's ex-husband has given her is her own wholeness.
Yeah.
Because, and honestly, as your dad, we are so proud of you, just the work you've done. But I think for all of us, we go, even, you know, if your marriage didn't end, but all of us are carrying stuff that is, it takes work, mm-hmm, to deal with.
Mm-hmm.
And I think every one of us, the history of our relationships, present or previous, gives us enough stuff,
yeah,
to work on that actually can be the catalyst for a fresh reinvention of,
that's
who you,
great,
are, if you deal with it. Hmm. And so in Elise's case, I think, and I shocked myself as it came out of my mouth, it's like, the gift that your ex-husband gave you is your own wholeness, because it forced you into deal with some things that you weren't even dealing with before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Didn't know I had to deal, wow, with. Yeah. And I think that's good. We romanticize marriage. I wouldn't say just in the church. I think we do Hollywood, and think it can be emphasized in the church. But if we take a second to deal with ourselves, who am I going into forever with somebody? Do I like me if I was marrying me?
Wow.
And I think that's the big thing.
Yeah,
it's really lessons learned.
What if you like you too much?
Oh my god.
And it doesn't leave room for the other
for somebody else. Okay. Well,
you're,
I love
funny, babe.
Do you know anyone like that at all? And ever?
I don't know. Me.
I was that person too.
We're all those people.
Man, I think this has been an amazing conversation.
Me too.
I think we can go on for another hour. But I think even more so, if you're watching this and you are enjoying it, leave some comments. We like to check our pages and really just see if any of this is speaking to you, or if there's any things that we missed, because, yeah, we'll probably come back around, right, to this topic.
This is a good topic. Let's keep talking.
There's just so many. I mean, the next one will be, what do you do when you lose it?
Oh,
so
I got that one. I got you.
So we're gonna talk about the hard and all that. But if you can leave comments, we like to read it, and maybe some stuff that maybe we missed. If you have questions, if you're going, right, through something, hit us up. Michael Murphy, he can be found. You're on the socials, right?
Yeah.
Michael R. Murphy.
You know what? I'm going to put it. I'm going to put it on the screen right here somewhere.
What?
So that you guys can reach him. But hey, ladies, the older ladies, don't be hollering at him, because he be getting mad. Older ladies trying to holler at him.
Oh, that's my dad. He got kids. He married. He's happily married. Thank you very much.
They be trying to holler at him.
Dad's like, what's a hollering?
Is that like a shout out?
Yeah, no. They be trying to get him.
Don't be letting anyone slide into his DMs.
Is that a hashtag?
Is that with a hollering? He's going to start hashtagging hollering.
Is that a hashtag?
Don't hashtag.
If you're going to get at him with some spiritual stuff, and if you need advice. If not, he ain't trying to holler at you, all right?
Valerie reads his messages.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. She does.
Over his shoulder like this. She fierce. She gonna roll back.
We love you guys. Thanks for tuning in. Thank you, Mr. Michael.
Thanks for having me.
It was amazing.
Thanks, Dad.
We had a blast. And for you guys joining us, this is a little thing we do, Dad.
Join us, Dad.
At the end of everything. Because again, this pod is all about including people. If you don't have a free space to tell us how you think, or a place to tell people how you feel, or just express thoughts that you may have that you're afraid of other people, you know, judging you, that's not this place. We're probably going to try to hit every awkward, uncomfortable topic in the world, so that people feel inclusive, which is why we have this round table, man.
Yeah.
And we ended with the saying like this. We pray that you have a seat at the table, but if you don't, you're always welcome at ours. Cheers.
Cheers.
Cheers. Cheers.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.